The picture that's before us was something that I saw when I was in Europe about 10 years ago. And it comes to mind quite often. And for the recording, it is a picture of a building with a steeple. And it has verbiage say, this is CH blank blank CH. What is missing? So naturally, you would say, you are. So, it's interesting for me, if I look at how the world look at the church, it is different than what we of the New Testament church look at. The purpose of the church, they may have it for social, political reasons. They say it is a congregation of the saved and unsaved, including babies. And there's even an option that if you attend or not, it doesn't matter. And it is more of an event, more than a worship service. Webster Dictionary more or less has confirmed that. Looking at it, it says a building for public, and especially Christian worship. It could be a clergy or officialdom of a religious body. Look at it as the Pope. And some people say this is Mr. Sowing Church. I will tell you it is not the church which Christ has died for. It even can be an organization, a group, that has been elected to govern over the church. Before us as New Church of the Testament, the Church of Christ, it is more than that. Yes, it is an assembly, a congregation of the saved, an unsaved can meet together. But strictly, the church is only the saved, those called out, as it is in 1 Peter 2:9. We are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. We don't want to be part of the world. We are to be transformed, not conformed to the world. The church is alive and breathing. We are the saints. We are dedicated to following the commandment of Christ and not that of man. Worship has always required man to appear before God. Even in the Old Testament, during the time of the three times a year that man had to appear, even as in the New Testament of Luke 2:41, we see the women and children also came along. But you always appear before God. Why? Well, in the spring for the Old Testament, it was for thanksgiving of the spring harvest, the barley. Summertime, it was for the wheat, some of the fruit. Fall also for the nuts, the hay, and the like. But these was festivities to give thanks to God. God, even today, requires the same from us as he required then. He wants the first, and he wants the best. They were obligated to bring some type of offering that, again, the first and the best. The benefit of this, one, was the history. They were to remember where they came from and where they are then. It also let them remember the covenant that they had signed with God. That covenant has changed today. For those who wish to stay under the Old Testament Mosaic law, Christ has nailed that to the cross. It is done. It is not the same as today. But it also was to benefit them collectively. Again, to be thankful, to remember, to strengthen the faith, and also to teach the religion. One of the best places that I could find readily that discussed their vain worship was in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Even today, these words ring loud and clear. It should ring loud and clear for those who read the Bible that is not of the New Testament church. If I am your father, if I am your master, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? Where is your fear of me? You don't see it today. And even for the priest, again, you despise my name. Why? We can see it today. Even in the world around us, people using God's name even in vain, not even obeying his commandment. And even further down in Malachi 1:13, even attending the service, it had become weary. They had despised it. They had rejected. They had refused. It was a grind. It was a chore. Just as long as they check the box and say, I did this, it should be sufficient. Not so. In Amos chapter 5:21, God tells them, I hate, I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offering. God wanted the first. He wanted the best. If we think about it, God doesn't need, and did not need even then, the food. That's so man to think God needs what we need. The indifference then is the same indifference that we see today. It is selfishness and indifference. As long as going through the motion, to play church, if you want to say that, they think it is pleasing to God. There's no way that we can be indifferent to this. You either serve God or you serve Satan. No excuse. When the Apostle Paul stood in the midst, this is Acts 17:21, in the Areopagus in Athens, he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are religious. As I travel across this world, especially in the south, which is considered the Bible Belt, and seeing those great buildings with the steeples on it, with the crosses outside, yes, I can see that they are quite religious. People leaving food out for the dead or for their God, I can tell that they are religious. But in verse 26, the Apostle Paul said, and he, being the Lord, had made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined them, being mankind, pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. To seek, I will talk about that in a few minutes. But to grope, this is a somewhat like being blindfolded. You are going to feel your way around. That's why it's so vital. And I tell people time and time again, read your Bible, read your Bible. If you are part of a denomination and something sticking in your craw that is not right, that is enough for you to start seeking the answer. That groping is to ascertain the quality or certainty of the word that is before you. Seek God, to ascertain that He is the one, to seek Him diligently, to learn of the existence and the perfection. Just like the people in Thessalonica, they sought daily the word to prove that it was right. We need to do that. There's no excuse. Romans 1:19. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, that's being mankind. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, He, being God, invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without an excuse. When it comes to worshiping God, as He ordained, He and only He has decided what is acceptable and appropriate to worship Him. There is no alterations or creation of our own schemes. The word because in 1:19 of Romans. This is going to be the reason that no one has an excuse at the end of the judgment, at the time of the judgment, that they did not know God. Even those, if you want to say, savages. There is something innate in each and every one of us that thrives to worship. It is up to each and every one of us to validate and confirm that desire within us. He has given us the knowledge, again, to every man. One of the greatest differences between the Church of Christ and others is that One of the greatest differences between the church and those of the denomination is, as a church, you have to be saved. For the denomination, you do not. You can still be part of, quote unquote, the church. In Acts 17:30, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now command all men everywhere to repent. We, being the Church of Christ, again, called out from the world, called out from sin, our hearts have been affected and pricked by the gospel with fear, the reverence that is required, and the concern that we have for our lost souls, but also for the souls of those about us. One who wants to share the good news, again, with those who are lost. I put before you Acts 2:37-40. When on the day of Pentecost, every one of them were pricked and did as obeyed what would need it to be saved. Worship attendance for the New Testament church is not optional. As noted by Webster Dictionary, it is a building, it is a person, or a group of people. I will tell you, more need to be done on that definition. Here in the New Testament church, the Church of Christ, we have no spectators. We have no audience to be entertained. We all have an obligation to take part. The desires of our heart, our mind, our strength, and our thoughts is first and foremost that we give to God. In Ephesians 1:2, shows to us that Christ is the head of the church, not a man. Hebrews 10:24. We are together for benefit of each other, not only ourselves. There are some that say, even in the Church of Christ, that where there are two, Christ is in our midst. I will tell you and them, go back and read the context. I will leave it at that. But that is not so. You are required to attend unless there is a good reason. What's the purpose of that? Again, it is for the history. It is to let us know not only about the forefathers of the Old Testament, but even know for the New Testament, the history, what it involved. Christ dying, our brothers and sisters dying for the purpose of the church. It is also, again, the covenant, the new covenant, not the old, that we are now obligated to follow. But again, the benefit. We are going to look at the benefit even more as I continue with this sermon. The attitudes that we have about the congregation, about the church, the assembly, to me cannot be said any better than when Cornelius and his family welcome the Apostle Peter after multiple days with anticipation of hearing the word of God. Their hearts must have been filled with anticipation and expectation. But these words in Acts chapter 10, and then I will read Acts 10:33, speaks volumes of how we should approach as members of the church. I understand we are not here all the time that feel this way, but I want to express, even before he was baptized, Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Cornelius, being a devout man and one who feared God, he was shown reverence, as what should have been in Malachi, with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Going down to 33. At the end, before the preaching, it said, "Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." If that could be a motto of us individually, it will show that we are giving our first, we are giving our best. It is the reason that the world, this is not the reason that the world meet during their assembly. This is our constitution and it should be our attitude for acceptable worship. The things that we do as the Church of Christ is commanded. One, singing. Ephesians chapter 5:19, speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The verse does not say singing with the heart, but singing and making melody in the heart. Nor does it say singing gracefully, but with the intention and devotion in our heart, from our heart to the Lord. Again, no choirs. No one is exempt. We are commanded to sing. We must participate. Otherwise, God will reject it. Also, vain worship. Again, turning back to Amos chapter 5:21. God hating the feast and their assemblies. Verse 23. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your string instruments. So we have vocal and we have instrumental. God hated their singing, but even closed his ears even more so against the accompaniment of the other. New Testament Church, Church of Christ, does not authorize instrumental music. To do so again is not to please God. In Amos chapter 6, verse 5, who sings idly to the sound of string instruments? If there's an instrument playing, idle, if you idle a car, it's more or less a waste of time. Using an instrument gives no value to a service, no value to worshiping God. Who does it benefit? You as an individual, because you like it, but it's not authorized. What is the purpose of singing? It praises God, it teaches and admonishes, and it is required for worship. To praise God, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice and praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, and give thanks to his name. To teach and admonish, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And again, worship 1 Corinthians 14:15. So what's the conclusion? I will pray with spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. We also pray in the Church of Christ. Acts chapter 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Again, we are all required to pray. What's the purpose and what's the benefit? It shows thankfulness, just as in the old days of Moses and the patriarchs. It shows the thankfulness to God. It shows our humility to God. But even more so for me, it shows that I need him. We need him. The thankfulness, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, that all perseverance and supplication in all the saints, for all the saints. We ought to pray for each other. Our humility to God, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication and prayers and intercession and the giving of thanks to be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. 1 Timothy 2:1. Again, the need for Christ, meaning for God, and even Christ. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace. That is Hebrews 4:16. We also partake of the Lord's Supper each and every week, as it is commanded by the Scripture. Acts 20, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the apostles came together to break bread. First day of the week, not any day of the week, no day but the first day of the week, which is Sunday. In 1 Corinthians 11:33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. How can you come together when you are not meeting together? It is a commandment again that we, each and every one of us that have been called out and obeyed the gospel, that we remember Christ. The benefit, again, remembering Christ, his suffering. The purification of his blood to save our souls, but even more so, the assurance of his death and resurrection. Our belief in taking the bread, the blood, is that we believe everything about the commandment which the New Testament is founded on. Public, we show again that we believe and depend on Christ, not man. We also give back the collection of the saints. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must also, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there are no collection when I come. This is the only means of authority that the church has to fund the church obligations. Not bingo, not any other means of bake sales or the like. This is not acceptable. And it's not acceptable even when Malachi told the people and the priests at that time, if you're going to give God this, you should consider giving it to the government first. Even with our paycheck, the government take their money first. Before we even get our money. So why should we make God last and give him little to nothing? What and how we give of the heart and with purpose reflect our attitude about the church, and even more so, our souls. God has given us everything. Everything belongs to him. So we need to show him the honor and respect that is due. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one of you give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The benefit of giving, we finance the work of the church. We show that we have been blessed. Acts 20:35. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And we've already looked at 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. Spiritual feeding being the gospel, the preaching. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He does not require us to be elegant in our speech. He does not require us to go beyond what is written. It is plain and simple. That's what we should preach. That what we must bring people to Christ is by the simple good news of the gospel. The benefit of the sermon, not only to feed us spiritually, but also where we are lacking, where we need to be doctored. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So Christ is the head. We are the body. We are many members. We all have different functions. We cannot all be the head. We cannot all be the mouth. We cannot all be the eyes. Let's do what we can. We all have something that we can do. God did not give us no ability. The church can grow by that one talent that we have. 1 Corinthians 12:22. No. Much rather, those members of the body that seem to be weaker, they are necessary. So let's not discard them. But even more so, coming back to Cornelius. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by him. So, things have shifted around. I have a new picture that says, this is CH blank blank CH. What is missing? This picture is showing a man on a boat, some people around him, a child in the water leaning against a boat, and people on the shore. This is to say that church is not a building. It is not an individual. It is people who are saved by Christ. That is the church. So, my last slide before we stand and sing is to let you know that, again, God gave and desired the best and the first. He gave us his best and his first. The world will like to say that Christ was defiled, that Christ was a sinner. That should never be uttered out of our mouth. They even entertain that being said before us. God's Son was perfect. He's not defiled. He wants the best from us. So, leaving you with Malachi 1, 9, and 10. Two choices. The choices that was given to the people and the priests at that time. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to you. While this is being done by your hand, even though you are still going through these undesirable worship services, change, repent, and he will accept you favorably. If you do not do that, verse 10, who is there even amongst you who would close the door so that you would not kindle the fire on his altar in vain? Worship service for the New Testament church. God is the only spectator. None of us can sit back to be entertained and also allow others to do what they would not do. So with that, if there's anyone that stands in need of the church, we would like you to come forward now as we sing the invitational song.